say? Can you verify this for me? I mean, some people here don't understand. I mean, what is soul?
Allora, adesso te lo dico io. Cos'è soul? Non importa come lo fai. Più alto possibile, meglio è. Pensavi di saperlo tutto. Nel suono giù nell'Atlantico. Col miglior ritmo su questo pianeta. Canta se vuoi, non ti sbaglierai. Accendi questa bomba. L'onda è il posto dove troverai questo ritmo. Sono nato nel sud.
Welcome to no, I got it wrong. Plague Tapes, the Plague Tapes, Plague Tapes 5. Everything has changed since that day a week and a bit ago on a Thursday. It was the 12th, I remember it. It was a strange day. And then I came out and they said they're closing down the schools and the universities, and this show is coming to you later and later every week. And that's because, or every day, because today was another work day. And what can I say, it just slowed me down, it slowed production down. But Plague Tapes 5 does have a big trigger warning piece at the end about how we check in with Andrew and look at what the figures are saying, where we're heading, what the direction is. We ask about the people who made that decisions, those decisions. Why is California now in a total lockdown? And why are children still going to school in the UK? And the North? All those questions. But first of all, we're going to have music. And there's a lot of really interesting things happening in terms of communal mutual aid. So I'm going to get into some of that in the show. But in the meantime, let's just start, and I think the start of this is jazz, if I'm not mistaken. No, it's hip hop to begin with. We ask a big question: what does your soul look like? DJ Shadow is the man posing the question.
Thank you. few moments, you will have an experience which will seem completely real. It will be the result of your subconscious fears transformed to your conscious awareness. You have 5 seconds to terminate this tape. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It figures the averages all day long and all night long. Once in a while, he lets you steal a pot. But if you stay in the game long enough, you've got to lose. And once you've lost, there's no way back.
First, this is a declaration of love for my family, both blood and organic, human and non-human. Second, this is a declaration of war against all self-interest, selfishness, and against the people that designed, implemented, and continue to maintain the system called capitalism that rewards people for robbing our mothers and our future children for money. Thirdly, this is a dedication to all that make sacrifices in the struggle against this rotten worldwide cancer system, especially in how it manifests itself internally. And fourth is me talking about politics and reality instead of blinking and blocking. Bothers you, go fuck yourself, because I got enough friends as it is. Thank you.
Yeah, that's me scratching a little bit between one and the other. That was Martin Rev from Suicide with Temptation. And we had before that, we had What Does Your Soul Look Like? And before that again, we had One Speed Bike, which is Aiden from Godspeed Your Black Emperor, who is the drummer from Godspeed Your Black Emperor, and he brought out something on Constellation. I picked it up. It's called One Speed Bike, and that was him giving out about capitalism. And Aiden is a bit of a fellow traveller, and in fact there is a story that goes that I was in one of my manic phases. I was actually tape recording the experience of going to a Godspeed Your Black Emperor gig, but one of the bouncers found me with the tape recorder and decided he was going to throw me out. And in fairness to Aiden, he actually saw it happen from the stage. So he went, got off the stage, went, saw that I was getting thrown out, went out and started beating a drum, found out what was going on, got to talk to the bouncer and got me allowed back into the gig. So that's a pretty awesome thing. So he's a fellow traveller and also anti-capitalist. And I think when we get through the plague, we will all be looking at this rotten system called capitalism and saying, how do we make it work better? Because it seems that in our country, we're actually trying to do the right thing. But in other countries, they are not doing the right thing. And they're doing things that actively work against the interests of people and their health. So none of that makes sense to me. You just missed some interesting street scenes in my neighborhood. There was the exact opposite of social isolation going on, and there was a lot of shouting and giving out and people being very close to each other to try and calm one individual down. And then I saw somebody else drive their motorbike into their house. So I don't know. Maybe he's expecting the zombie apocalypse tonight. Or somebody is threatened to rob his motorbike. I don't know. But it seems a bit strange. Okay, what do we go on with? We're going to go on with, oh yeah, a little bit of dub from Death in Vegas. That's what's going to scratch back in. You're listening to Plague Tapes 5 on Radioactive International. Public service broadcasting, that's what it is. Also look out for shows by Derek Mouthpiece, who's doing another show, an A to Z of his records, during these strange, weird and wonderful times. We'll be right back.
Jamal, a husband, father, grandfather, and African-American, lives in the fastest-growing public housing tract in America. For over 15 years, he has been a resident of Pennsylvania's Death Row.
Thank you. All I want is you. Where is the love?
broadcasting all over the world from Dublin during the plague. This is Plague Tape 5s with your host, Dr. Groove. A daily show from the lockdown that is Dublin at the moment. And we heard Two Lone Swordsmen. Before that, we heard the wonderful King Heroin from the JBs. It's a really lovely, mellow kind of jazz number. And that was sufficient to determine the next track. And we started it all off with some dubby stuff from, I'm always forgetting their name, Death in Vegas. Okay, so one of the things that's happening in terms of mutual aid and is that the internet seems to be being opened up for as a cultural space where people are using it to the best of their ability to spread the love and to come from a good space. So last night, as I was going to bed, I got information in that Autechre were doing a live mix. So they were using this app that I'd never seen before, where they were just broadcasting live. They did, I think, a 6-hour mix or a 5-hour mix, and I caught the last 2 hours of it, and it was sublime. Autechre are amazing, and I was really pleased with myself recognizing certain tunes. And then today I heard that Bandcamp were waiving their 15%, which they take, which is quite a significant chunk. But somebody should really tell me what Spotify take, because I think they take a far larger chunk, and I haven't seen them do anything about it. But anyway, Bandcamp were waiving their 15% fee, so people were going on to Bandcamp and buying tunes. And so you'll be hearing some tunes that came from Bandcamp, in particular one anti-fascist one, later on in the show. But this is all really interesting stuff, and I'm very impressed by this kind of form of mutual aid and the internet being used as a tool. I've got friends who are doing YouTube yoga classes. Obviously, this show is another part of Ish. Radioactive is always free. So you should support those kind of initiatives. And it just feels like we're doing the right thing. Like one society is coming to an end and we are building a new one in the ruins of it. Let's have some more jazz. Thank you.
Given free will, but within certain limitations. I cannot will myself to limitless mutation. I cannot know what I would be if I were not me. I can only guess me. So when I say that I know me, how can I know that? What kind of spider understands arachnophobia? I have my senses and my sense of having senses. Do I guide them?
Thank you.
We're definitely getting close to the end of Plague Tapes 5. There's a lot of jazz in tonight's show, but I'm not going to apologize for that. There was also a lot of surface noise, and you're going to get surface noise if you're listening to vinyl. And also, if you're playing vinyl, oh, look at this. Wow. Alright, so yeah, that hello at the end there was my mum phoning me or Skyping me from her nursing home, which is where she is at the moment, and it's a great job that she's there because she's safe and looked after and gets all her medication and gets fed, and that was my job before this. So that's one thing that's good happening, that's good in the plague. And my sister, who's in California, which is kind of going through a similar lockdown to ours. Anyway, we've got to the end of the Plague Tapes 5, and I have the trigger warning is that now we're going to do the med tech science stuff and talk to Andrew directly around things. So if you can't take any more details, graphs, projections, or just frustrations in relation to COVID-19, then you shouldn't listen to the next 15 minutes. And at the end of that, we'll have a final tune, which is from Jamie Branch, and it's a love letter to the something clowns and something else. It's worth tuning in for that part. But anyway, the choice is up to you guys. I hope you enjoyed Plague Tapes 5. There's not going to be one on Saturday or Sunday. Those are days of rest. Monday we'll be back with Plague Tapes 6. So that's it. And stay safe and keep up the social distancing. You're doing really well. Keep it up. Okay, so we're back in the studio, Groovetown Studios, Plague Tapes 5, which means that, well, I'll just explain. I've been officially counting it since last Thursday, because that's when things started to happen, and I've been trying to do these, yeah, actually since Monday, so I've managed one a day. But today we have the chance to get an extra special update, because we haven't had an update now since Plague Tape 2. So Andrew's here with me. So what is the latest?
So yesterday was a little scary in Ireland. We had 179 new cases, but that's basically because they'd massively ramped up testing over the weekend, and so the Croke Park Test Centre had opened, and that meant there were lots of people who had maybe said they wanted to be tested last week, but there hadn't been time to test them, the facilities to test them were tested, so there was a big jump in the numbers. The numbers tonight have just come out, and that's 129, right? So that's a lot, but actually that gets us back to that 33% increase line. So 33% a day is what we're expecting. Yesterday went way above that. This brings us actually back down onto it. So it's obviously bad news, but it's also good news in that sense that it's back on the line. We wouldn't expect to see the results of the sort of isolation stuff that started last week yet. It's too early for that yet. Okay.
When do we expect the isolation? Should we expect it to drop from 30%?
So it's a little tricky because there is that whole question of the backlog of people to be tested that they're working through. So people will probably already know themselves if they're friends who want to be tested. Last week they were being told, well, maybe in 6 days' time. Now it seems more likely to be the next day or 2 days away, but that's still working through that. So that kind of camouflages where we are. But I would say I'm actually quite encouraged, because the big fear last week was that there was a huge number of cases out there that we didn't know about. You know, the figure 2,000 was being thrown around when we knew about 130.
Yeah.
Unless something happened today that we don't know about, like if they continue testing at the same rate today as they were testing yesterday, then that suggests maybe they've cleared a bit of the backlog and they haven't found that huge number of cases. Now, we don't know. It, it could have been that maybe there weren't enough test kits available. Maybe the labs worked really hard yesterday and they weren't capable of working today. I looked at the government press release, and unfortunately it doesn't tell us how many tests were actually carried out today. So, you know, I can't look at that figure comparatively. But it's, you know, it like, obviously it's not good news, but it's also not dreadful news either. And I was worried it was going to be, you know, dreadful news. So.
Okay, and then in terms of the UK's position, because I know we try and start off on what the Irish position is, but the Irish position is obviously is relevant in terms of the north, and there seems to be little clarity. Apart from, they seem to be closing the pubs, but we don't know whether they're closing the schools yet.
Yeah, they finally closed the pubs. The schools announcement is weird. Like, so there's a legitimate childcare issue with the schools. Like, you close the schools, and then, so yeah, nurses, for instance, then don't have any childcare. And they seem to have decided to try and sort that out by keeping the schools open for childcare, so certain categories of workers can still send their kids to schools. I don't know if that's terribly sensible, because the problem is, if you have your key workers all sending their kids to schools, and then the kids are bringing home coronavirus, then that's actually taking out all your key workers. Like, there's a whole load of the British stuff you look at and you go, I don't know who's working this out, because if I can see the problems almost instantly in it, surely whoever's actually doing this should be able to see it. And that's been my whole experience with the British thing. They don't seem to know what they're doing. The testing situation is still disastrous there. They don't want to test people effectively. The only way to get tested is if you're actually going to be hospitalised. And, you know, if you're following stuff on Twitter, you'll see people who literally are going into hospital with all the symptoms, are getting x-rayed, and the chest x-rays, the lungs have the there's a particular pattern of destruction, basically, that coronavirus does. They have that, and they still won't test them because they're actually not so sick at that moment that they need to be admitted to hospital. So there's no way of knowing how many cases are over there. Like, it's whether they're not doing that testing because they don't want to know, because they don't want it to look like a big number. I don't know. That would be very stupid, but that's one possibility. The other possibility is that they simply didn't get it together to order test kits, so they don't have many kits, and it's their way of rationing kits. Either of those is showing a massive, massive mismanagement, is too mild a term, because it's going to kill a lot of people, but yeah. I just call it that for the moment. It's incredible. It's very hard to know what the hell is going on.
And in America, California's just gone into a ban of people aren't allowed to leave their house, or they're being told by the governor not to leave their house because...
Right, it's a lockdown at that level, is it?
Because they think that there could be 40 million cases within a week. Within 2 weeks.
It's the state is a disaster as well. It's been spreading there for ages. There's been no effective action. Politically, you've had this, because of the political situation there, you've got this almost a denialist culture built into a section of the Republican Party who think it's fake or it's only the flu. They're quite vulnerable in that, like, obesity is an issue with a lot of Americans, and that's one of the most vulnerable categories to actually get killed by this. And there's a fight going on between the national government under Trump and the state governments about who has to pay for things like ventilators and things. I mean, I saw a thread on American Twitter yesterday, and it was just like, it's like an example of how ideology kills you, you know, because it was just everybody trying to blame some other section on bizarre ideological grounds that, from an Irish perspective, were neoliberal enough. Just made no sense. You were just looking at going, what the hell, get your act together, guys. So, yeah, America's not looking good.
Do you think there's a correlation between, like, both Johnson and Trump have this dislike of experts, and in a situation like this you have to rely on the experts? Has it got to that level of ideological or pathological?
If I was going to analyse it, right, because I think there's a pattern. The countries who didn't take this seriously are Britain and America, that's obvious. Italy initially as well. I mean, you know, Italy, yeah. I mean, they're taking it seriously now because 400 plus people are dying every day, so you have to take it seriously. But initially they weren't. The Netherlands wasn't taking it terribly seriously. Yeah. You know, I won't go beyond that, but it's basically the old colonial powers, you know. So
Spain?
Exactly. You know, so to me, it's kind of, this is partially the ideology of colonialism coming home to roost, you know, the idea that plagues are just something that happens to, you know, other parts of the world because people
countries
are,
that you invade.
Yeah. And that sense of superiority in relation to this, because anybody who's been watching this come from China in January and then going to other East Asian countries is going, well, obviously the percentages that work for those countries are going to be the same percentages that arrive here, and if you've an old population like Italy has, that's going to be a lot of people dying. Yeah. If it swamps the hospital at that rate, well, that's the rate we're going to see. So it's like literally, it's not a mystery. You had a whole month of being able to look at the figures in East Asia and going, oh, okay, this is exactly what this looks like. So when it arrives here, it's going to be this many cases per day, and then it's going to be that many cases,
yeah,
and we're going to run out of intensive care units. You know, like it's simple maths that, you know, any kid could do for his leaving cert, but yep, they just don't seem to have done it. Like, all of these places seem to enter into this denialism, it can't happen to us, you know, there must be some reason it's happening to those people, and that reason doesn't apply to us. It's you know, so it's, yeah, racism, colonialism, before, whatever you want to call it, it's yeah, like something like that.
And we've said it before on the plague tapes, the coronavirus doesn't discriminate.
No,
it's
no,
totally
not
diverse, it'll just go after all humans.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else you want to say, or
keep the distance? Keep the distance, folks. That's the main thing. It's like, it's hard. You know, the lack of social contact is quite difficult. I will say though, I've been doing video chats on pretty much every night this week. Some of them were really big groups of people. In one case, it was because a work colleague died of an unrelated condition. And obviously, you can't have funerals that everybody goes to at the moment, so we had one last night for that. And they're actually really solid experiences, you know, like they do fill that gap and you feel a lot better coming off them. The first 10 minutes is a little awkward and weird because everybody's going, ooh, talking to each other on video. But I like, if people aren't doing it already, I would definitely recommend having a go. Google Hangouts works pretty well. Skype works pretty well. There's a whole load of platforms.
Yeah.
Zoom gives you 40 minutes free.
Is it Jitsu?
Jitsu's the thing
where freeware.
Yeah, we're experimenting with. It's very interesting because it's actually an open source free version. I can't actually spell it, which is why I didn't mention it. But if you,
I think it's Jitsu,
something like that. Yeah, if you Google around that, you'll probably find it. But yeah, all these things work. They help build connection, and they'll keep us together and mentally healthy, which I think is the key thing for the struggle that's coming over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, cool. All right. Thanks okay. very much.
This one goes out to all those assholes and all those clowns out there. Forever.
Christmas.